This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Missouri, Washington, and Kansas primaries. That's part of what it was about. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. That's where we start here across this nation, is some pivotal key states and big stretches of votes in August. Arizona, the big primaries of the night. Republicans pick a Senate candidate to take on a really vulnerable Democrat, Mark Kelly, and Republican contest for governor and secretary have become battles between former President Trump and Arizona governor, Arizona's governor, over the future of the party. So it's interesting where that's gone. In Michigan, Republican Tudor Dixon, an election denier endorsed by Trump, is going to face Democratic incumbent Gretchen Whitmer in November. In Missouri, Attorney General Eric Schmidt will win the state's Republicans, with the amount of precincts in to be able to say that, will win the state's Republican Senate nomination, defeating the former governor. In Kansas, this was big. Voters rejected a measure that would have amended the state constitution to remove a protected right to abortion. Kansas was the first state to let voters weigh in on abortion since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in June. So that's very big. Democrat Marie Perez will advance to the general election in Washington's third congressional district. Washington State has an open primary system, which sees all candidates run on the same ballot, regardless of party, with the top two vote-getters advancing in November. So, you know, when you look at numbers, it's important. Republicans are fighting to secure the second spot, and you look at 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach the former president last year. One of them, Jamie Butler, is seeking a seventh term representing the third district. So there are lots of interesting primaries that have unfolded across the United States, and too many to mention all of them, but certainly these are things that are significant in going into November, especially when we look at the midterm elections. Just a reminder that, boy, we are almost there. I mean, almost there. And some of the key takeaways, I think, especially when you look at what's happened, like progressives getting another defeat in Michigan. That's pretty much what that shows there. And progressive Democrats spent a lot of money in the primaries and have not been happy with fellow Democrats. So there's the push pull in their own party, and that was obvious in looking at that. And in Michigan, in the run-up, with Tudor Dixon, the conservative commentator, endorsed by Trump in the final days of the race and backed by huge factions of the Michigan Republican establishment, winning the state's Republican primary to take on Whitmer is huge. It's going to be a big clash, probably one of the most competitive governor's races that will come up in November for sure. And Kansas maintaining constitutional rights to an abortion is big, because you had 78% of the vote in on Tuesday. 700,000 people cast ballots in the primary. That dwarfed the turnout in the 2020 presidential primary election even. And they're supporting abortion rights, not knowing which way that was going to go. That was clear cut almost the beginning. So very, 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 very big. And as I said, you know, you looked at Arizona and the primaries, you know, there, and the impact of those primaries too, where you had Karen Robson, the Republican, with 59, almost 60% of the precincts reporting, getting 49%... of the vote, should nail that primary. And you had Carrie Lake, who was backed by Trump, getting a little over 40% of the vote. So there were people that came out to vote, but she was looking good. I mean, this was tight. This looked like it was going to be a lot tighter than now. It's kind of, you know, developed into something else. But certainly there were a lot of Trump-dominated television ads in Arizona's primary election with, you know, he's not on the ballot, but who he was pushing, et cetera. And Arizona wasn't the only state holding primaries, but it was definitely a lot of money in the direction of the coattails of the former, you know, president. And in Arizona, is the response, you know, big? Is that working or not? And so looking at the possibilities, it's also sets up for what will we possibly see in November with some key midterms that could really flip where the votes go on the Hill, which is why I say all the time, trust me, your votes matter. I'm going to say this at the top because this was just announced a short while ago on Tuesday, but Vin Scully, a beloved sportscaster for sure, voice of the Dodgers forever and a day, dead at the age of 94. He spanned generations of sports fans across the nation. He had a way of spinning yarn. He had a folksy kind of, and I don't know if I'm doing him justice even, delivery that just pulled you in when you listen to him. I did not grow up with the Dodgers, but I spent enough time around the Dodgers. I had a chance when I lived in California to really listen to him, and he did have that magic. He absolutely had a wonderful way of calling a baseball game, and he lived an incredible life, a life well lived, very generous, and helped so many people and so many causes. He knew how fortunate he was. Here we go again with the rain, talking about the horrible things that are happening in Kentucky. And thanks to many of you, people are donating money in all kinds of directions, however they can. And that's great to see, but it's still about searching for people that are unaccounted for, and there's still rain, floods receding, and then the whole rebuilding effort is going to be outrageous. It's in some of these counties, it's so depressing. But more than 10 inches of rain fell in Illinois. So another one of those incredible, deluges, I call them. And it's the third 1-in-1,000-year rain event in the lower 48 states in a week. Well, it's like someone turned on the spigot and it didn't go off. And that's where you get these flash floods. So if anything, it's a warning to all of us to really pay attention to the weather around us for sure. Mailbag coming up next.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
You have mail, mistress.
What? Dig in the mailbag.
Yes, indeed, we have tons of mail. I say this all the time, but thanks for that. I do appreciate it. The 15-plus years I've been doing this show are to believe. Can you believe it? Wow, time flies. It does. So let's start here with Eric, and Eric says, hi, Kate, I listen to you on 10:30 a.m., one of the KVOI gang. I love it when you shout out your love for Arizona. I laughed out loud when I heard about your first trip to Sedona, and we hope that you come back here and we can all host you and see you, and you can enjoy Arizona again, but don't do it anytime soon. Boy, monsoons have clobbered us. Of course, that has subsided for now, but we're in the monsoon season. Sister, it was terrible. I was up in Phoenix visiting my sister, and we kind of hunkered down. I was helping her with my niece and nephew, and boy, I could have pulled them on the back of my truck with a saucer, if you know what I mean, and a rope, and they could have gone through the streets like they were in an ocean. It was really, really something, and that's what we're dealing with. Certainly, we feel for the people in Kentucky and the floods there because of the way that those floods have really just hung around, and survivors say they had no warning. I think in the case of our monsoons, we have warnings and we knew, but I feel for the people in Kentucky. I really, really, really do. It's sad when you get hit with any kind of wall of water. And while I can relate just a little bit, certainly nothing that we have seen is quite as bad as what they're dealing with. Yeah, Eric, you know, it's extraordinary, the rain, the historic floods, extraordinary in a bad way. Luckily, you have wonderful people who are donating everything they can, coats, clothes, all of that. It's being set up in gyms at a couple of different gyms because people don't have anything. That's what you got to think about. The people, a lot of people who escaped, they had just the clothes they were wearing, and those clothes are ruined. Everything else was in the house. Everything else was covered in mud. So you've got, homes destroyed, lives destroyed. And many of those people do still realize they're lucky in many cases to be alive because the death toll in Kentucky is 37. But really, honestly, they believe it's going to be much higher when it's all said and done because there's still debris being cleaned up, debris that's so thick in so many areas where homes were tousled and floated away that you can't say for sure that you know the exact number because the number keeps going up. I mean, I would love if it just sticks there. It's terrible, horrible, unacceptable, but let's not see it go up. I think people just, the infrastructure damage, just not prepared for that kind of devastation. And now, on top of everything else, think about after these floods, now you have heat coming. On top of that, yikes. All right, here we go with another one. This is from Kimberly. Kate Delaney, I started listening to your show because my husband was a big fan and listened especially when you were talking in the man cave and did the score thing that you do. He always pays attention to that. In fact, he's one of your frequent emailers. Emailing his guest because a lot of times he's at work and he doesn't want to get caught listening. So anyway, we are out of Connecticut, and as I said, we've listened for a long time. I heard you talking about COVID and the endemicness of COVID and where we are now at this point in testing and what's going to happen going back to schools and the president testing positive twice for COVID, having that bounce back case. It is sad that we can't just completely stamp it out, but you know what they say about wishes and money, and if we could just wish away half the things that we don't want to deal with. It luckily seems to be not as bad, some of the symptoms, as we saw at the height of the pandemic. So I suppose that's good, but it still is a tragedy and something that we are dealing with and tracking. And I think we're all just burned out on all of this. And, you know, the cases are on the rise. You know, they are on the rise, and you are right. We are burned out on it. I just had that conversation with two people today who were traveling, and they were talking about feeling like they had enough antibodies. So that's the whole thing. Do you have enough antibodies you've built up? And they were traveling, and they were going to, where were they going? They were going to a huge festival, and then on the road speaking, I'm starting to see more people mask up, and the COVID cases are up 3.5% more this past week, but the deaths are up a little bit, but the 7-day average is 458, nothing like what we saw at the height of this. That certainly is true, and hospitalizations are down. And that is good, but it's something we don't want to see. Yeah, absolutely. It's the burnout of all of this. You know, it's absolutely the burnout. And I've talked to people who have had it 2 and 3 times. The first time, usually their description the worst, and then the other two not quite as bad. The thing that I think scares me the worst for people is long COVID. The people who got really bad cases and they're still suffering the after effects of it because there's a lot that's unknown. and you're suffering from that, and it's just a guessing game as to what, okay, how do you fight this? How do you combat this? Well, how do you deal with these ongoing health problems? How do you deal with fatigue and brain fog? Because that's the thing that's most reported with long COVID systems, not being able to hold things in your head. And, yeah, terrible, terrible. All right, let's go to this one from Max. Hi, Kate. I have to say I listened and heard you say that staggering number that Tiger Woods was offered to go on the live tour. The number was, I want to say, 800 million. And were you surprised that Tiger Woods didn't take that and play with certainly some of his buddies? And I know he knows Greg Norman well. Were you surprised that he decided not to do that? I wasn't surprised that he didn't do it, because you got to think about Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods already has more money than one could ever want for himself, his children, their children, and doesn't need it. And you think about his condition, you know, what he's dealing with since that car accident. And it, I mean, he's a huge name. He is a game changer. No question about that. No matter what condition he's in. But, no, I'm not surprised that he didn't do it. I mean, look, he's tied for first in PGA Tour wins. He's got incredible records on the PGA Tour, and serious green. I mean, to get offered that amount of money, he knows he is one of the greatest of all time. And he already has, like I said, more money than one could, one could want. So I think that plays into it. He wants to back the PGA Tour. He doesn't want to back the Saudi-backed tour. And he made that very, very, very clear. That's where he stood. That was it. All right, this one's from Kenny, who says, "Hey, Kate, I've listened to your cheap movie reviews, and I find them really interesting. I've taken your advice on a couple of flicks, and you were certainly right about Top Gun Maverick. It had some incredible scenes in it as far as what we saw with the planes, and I think it still was probably the best movie of the summer. What do you think?" But we're in agreement, absolutely. Because you know why? It took you back to the original Top Gun, and those scenes were incredible in that movie. It was very, very well done.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
At least four people have died and more than 100 homes, sheds, and other buildings have burned in California's McKinney Fire since it erupted last Friday. Officials have confirmed that rain on Sunday and Monday helped firefighters as they worked to control the spread of the fire, but the blaze remained out of control. The fire is growing to become one of California's largest wildfires so far this year.
I think the biggest thing for us to think about is how dry these conditions are. Every strike has a greater potential right now to start a fire.
Adrian Freeman of the U.S. Forest Service. The Senate has approved a bill that allows families of public safety officers who die by suicide to seek death benefits, sending the measure to President Biden's desk for his signature. This is USA Radio News. The Federal Aviation Administration is asking for comments from the public for the next few months, as it seeks feedback on airplane seat sizes. It will then use the feedback to create a new standard minimum for airplane seat sizes. This comes years after Congress ordered the FAA to create new minimum dimensions for airplane seats in its funding renewal in 2018.
Men identifying as women and boys identifying as girls can no longer participate in women's sports in the state of Louisiana. Fairness in Women's Sports Act is now in effect. The legislation first became law June 6 without Governor John Bel Edwards' signature, who had previously vetoed similar legislation back in 2021. Its success this time is due to an overwhelming majority support, with 72 in favor and only 21 opposed, making it veto-proof. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I am so excited to introduce you to Wayne Griffin. His book is called Elizabeth Taylor, My Celebrity Connection. And I can't tell you how much I love Elizabeth Taylor. So how exciting it is, one, that he really has this amazing connection that happened, because I think he was pretty brave in how he reached out, and just the stories about her. And I think even younger people can relate to some of those stories of Elizabeth Taylor. There was something magical about her. Wayne, thank you so much for doing this.
It's my pleasure, Kate. Thank you for having me on board and for your time today.
So what started your fascination with Elizabeth Taylor?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, and I think it goes back to me as a gay man in the 80s and sort of not having really parents that I sort of could come out to, and knowing what she meant to the gay community, I sort of connected. I connected to her. I wrote to her. I actually came out to her in a letter. I mean, that's where it all began. But, I mean, I had friends that had sent me postcards with pictures of her on and stuff like that previous to that. And so I'm like, well, who is this woman? She is just out of this world. I was just so mesmerized by her. And, you know, and then I did the usual thing fans do, get all the movies and watch all the movies and wait for that first on-screen appearance to just see that magnificent woman appear on the screen. It was, it was amazing.
Do you have a favorite Elizabeth Taylor movie, or no, you just like them all?
No, I don't like them all. No, there's some that aren't quite, you know, they don't meet the benchmark. But, you know, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? I love Cleopatra. I can get that out and watch that again and again and again. And just some of those one-liners in there are just classic. Giants, Rain Tree County is a favorite of mine. I'm usually... Sometimes it depends too on my collection. I mean, what items do I have from those movies or that are associated to those movies will sometimes dictate to me what my favorites are.
In your book, you talk about that. Tell us some of what you have in your collection and how this came to be, how it went from PR people, I'll call them, assistants, sending you maybe something back, like a, you know, hey, thanks for your, you know, interest in Elizabeth, to it becoming more personal.
Well, you know, there was a lot of that going on. There was a lot of writing. I mean, I remember writing for about 4 years. The first letter I got back was from a secretary or a PR person, and I wasn't happy with that. I wanted that connection. So, you know, eventually that did happen, and I was corresponding with Elizabeth directly. But, I mean, you know, I've got things in my connection, in my collection that stories, for example, in my book that come from her childhood friend, Bruce Culverhouse, that had shared some stories about growing up in the Taylor house because her parents were employed by the Taylors as chauffeurs and the mother was a maid. So, you know, Ruth grew up with Elizabeth. So there's some stories in there about that and how George Culverhouse was the very first person to teach Elizabeth Taylor to walk, which, you know, that's her first steps to stardom began with him. A picnic on Dix River during Rangeria County is a picnic basket a lady used to go on the set, and quite often Elizabeth and some of the other members would join them and sit on the bank of the river and have a picnic from this wonderful picnic basket and a blanket that was made 150 years ago by her great-grandmother or something, you know. And there's other things where there's been lockets and things kept away in a bank safe, and then, you know, the person's passed away and handed it down through the family, and these were gifted things from Elizabeth that she'd actually given to people during filming or stuff like that, because she was a very giving person, you know.
Yeah, for you to have all this memorabilia and to be able to go and look at whatever it might be, do you feel like she's sort of still alive, that there's something about Elizabeth that you're connected more than the rest of us?
Yeah, well, look, I think, yeah, there is that. There is that definitely that connection. And the good thing about it is sometimes if you can get an image, or sometimes I get media coverage with her, like a cowboy hat she wore in 2009 to the Abbey Bar and Grill down the street from her home, coincidentally. She's in the wheelchair with the hat on. I mean, and I've got that hat, and I can, you know, in my book, for the very first time, I believe a biography or a book of this sort doesn't use QR codes. And I put QR codes through my book where we're talking about certain things. If she's won an Oscar for certain, you know, for something, there's a QR code, and you can actually click on the QR code, and she transforms out of the pages and becomes alive. And there she is at the Oscars receiving an Oscar, or there she is in the wheelchair wearing the hat, you know. So, and I get goosebumps thinking about it. And some of my friends go, oh, my God, I've got goosebumps about this. And I've shown them. I've said, look, well, there's a picture there. Now let's turn it into reality. Let's click on the QR code and bring her alive. And why not?
Why not? I agree with you. I think it's wonderful that you did that. Is there one story about Elizabeth that just really resonated with you, personal or professional, which I'm sure there's so many, but is there one that you can hear over and over again and that you put in your book?
I think one thing that resonates with me about her was her boss in business, her determination to not just be another actor, not just be a plaything for studios to do, and to you know, show her sexuality and be who she really wanted to be. And, you know, I feel also that because she lost her father quite young, that maybe that's why she had, I was thinking this morning, why did she marry 8 times? I mean, who's going to do that? But, I mean, she loved people. She, you know, and I think, you know, minus the father figure earlier in her life, is probably one of the reasons why she wanted that man constantly throughout her life. And she wasn't one to sort of just have boyfriends here and there and everywhere. She was a loving person.
Who do you think her great love was? You mentioned the 8 marriages. Who was her great love?
Well, it was a toss-up in between Richard Burton and Mark Todd, really. I mean, who's to say, I mean, if Mark Todd didn't, you know, die in that plane crash in 1958 or whatever it was, that they would have stayed together a lot longer than they did. I mean, it's hard to know, but, I mean, the relationship with Richard, obviously, 10 years or so, and then the second marriage. So maybe Richard. I mean, apparently they're selling her letters to Richard Burton at the minute, so her love letters. And she was buried, apparently, with one of them. So I would say Richard Burton. I'd say they're up in heaven doing a sequel to Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Which is my favorite movie, and I love that you brought that up. I could watch that over and over. She was brilliant in that movie.
Yes, yeah, excellent.
I mean, just brilliant. What, tell me more about the book and tell all of us more about the book. What else do you have in there?
Well, look, it's a biography, and there's been about 64 biographies on Elizabeth Taylor, so we don't want to play the same old music. You still got to sort of tell the basic storyline about where she was born. And I mean, obviously, I've intertwined things from her childhood and obviously information I got from her childhood friends and stuff like that, and people that worked for her. So it's a general story of, you know, when she got married, when she acted in a certain movie, when she got sick, all that type of stuff's in there. But I think also it is, in there is the, it showcases also her willingness to be a part of a fanship with someone like myself. Well, she may have done exactly the same thing with lots of other people around the world, but to take time out of her day and respond to someone like me just shows another side of her. And then there's obviously the other side of it, which where I've interjected pieces of memorabilia. So we may be talking about, let's say the Bluebird in 1976, and there she is in a outfit going into the studio to film, and I've got that outfit, so you'll see that outfit on another page. So we're sort of blending the memorabilia through the story to bring it alive. And then, of course, you know, I've got the QR code to try it off, but I mean, I hope everyone else does.
Exactly, and you can get this book Barnes & Noble, Amazon.
Yes, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. This, I've actually focused more on the American market, not so much here in Australia. So I think there's even 300 bookstores American-wide that will have the copy. And Elizabeth's going to attend the LA Festival of Books on the 23rd and 24th, and then she's going to be at the Miami Book Festival on the 19th to the 23rd of November. So she's still out there.
She's everywhere. So here's the thing. What was it like for you to write the book once you saw it? I mean, boom, there it is in your – we see it right behind you. It's beautiful. But once you get that copy, put it together, this has been such a big chunk of your life. What was that like?
It's a life's journey. It's taken me 10 years. It's like – I collected and collected for a long time, and I was getting sort of – my partner was going, you know, when are you going to stop this craziness and stop collecting all this stuff? This house is just a shrine to Elizabeth Taylor. I'm like, well, I'm going to stop, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to write a book, and I'll put all the pieces in the book, and I'll tell a story, and then I'll stop collecting. That didn't happen. The collecting actually got worse. In 2010, I sent her a manuscript, a lovely satin-bound manuscript of the book. She read that. She got that. She sent me this beautiful comment or this beautiful card around, you know, how I had made her birthday so special and what a lovely tribute Lavender book it was. Then sort of 5 months later, she passed away. So she didn't actually get to see the book in its real form. So then sort of it's sort of come and gone over the years, and some people have done the wrong thing by it and some people have done the right thing, and it's never been what I've wanted it to be. We've got to be, you know, as her number one fan that I was declared by her, I need to present it in a way that is fitting to the Queen of Hollywood. So now, and coincidentally, she had been alive, it would have been her 90th birthday this year. So what I did, I released it on her birthday. So in actual fact, I've done a whole big loop, because that letter that she wrote 10 years ago to say thank you for the lovely Lavender book on my birthday still applies 10 years later when I released the book on her birthday. So it's a bit goosebumpy.
It is goosebumpy. It's the perfect place to end this. We could talk and talk and talk, but what a tribute to Elizabeth Taylor, and what an amazing connection. You know, Elizabeth Taylor, my celebrity connection, that is a very big connection. Well-written book, excellent job, and it was great speaking with you.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you for having me, and you know, thank you for keeping the legacy of this wonderful woman alive.
Wayne Griffin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that last up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
For a conversation with M.E. Taylor. Her book is called Brothers, and what I love about this book, it is my kind of genre, where she takes history and brings it to life. And you have to think of Roman Britain and what was that like. And in my mind, I think, ooh, gold, love, betrayal, all kinds of things. And so without further ado, let's bring her on. M.E., wow, what an undertaking. So for you, what was it that led to writing this book? Why'd you do it?
Well, I found that I was getting more and more interested in Roman Britain because I lived in an area where there are lots of remains to be visited. And so I began to think about the actual people who lived in these properties. Some were soldiers, some were not soldiers, some were civilians, some were families. And so I started thinking about families and started to concoct a story of the family of the Marcians, Lucius Marcius and his family. The eldest was Gaius, the boy. Then there was Marcella, and the youngest was Gaia. She wasn't really called Gaia, but she wanted to be called Gaia because she was so keen on her brother. Her real name would have been Marcella.
So tell us about the story, Brothers. Pull us into the story and give us a sense of what we can expect, the twists and the turns and the plot.
Well, Lucius Marcius' father came to Britain with his family because he had upset the Emperor Domitian. And he was tasked with finding ways of settling the natives into a more Roman lifestyle, which involved him travelling around the country. His little boy took fancy to a native boy called Virilicus, and because his parents wouldn't sell him to the Martian family, he was kidnapped by a member of the household. He was branded and he was to be trained to be Gaius's little friend. Unfortunately, he ran away overnight and he wasn't seen or heard of again for 9 years. They didn't know what had happened in the 9 years, although it is revealed in the story later on. But he was captured when the Romans, headed by the brother of Lucius Marcius, that's a man called Marcus, overran a native settlement which was occupied by rebel warriors, basically, and Virilicus was one amongst them. He was captured and taken back to the Lucius household, and although it was discovered that he had actually been the one who killed Gaius' betrothed, he was allowed to live, and eventually he was tamed by Gaius. But he became a member of the household, and he began to take a great interest in Gaia. She didn't take an interest in him to start with, but gradually she became to look upon him in a different light. It was discovered then that he was the brother of one of the rebels who had escaped, and Marcus was very angry, and he demanded he had to be taken up there, and he was forced to betray his brother by virtue of the fact that another brother would have been crucified if he didn't do so. So he did that, and his brother surrendered unwillingly, and he was actually the brother, Nubarus, was pardoned by the Romans because he had surrendered, but Virilicus wasn't pardoned. And when Virilicus was returned to his home, he was allowed to accompany Nubarus for one last point because Marcus wanted to free him, but Gaius would not allow that. He wanted him to go to Rome with him. So he was allowed to go back, and while he was there, he discovered that Gaia was visiting her old home. She was now married to another man, and she was terribly, terribly mad for him. And they started to make love together. Eventually, she had to return to her husband, and Virilicus had to surrender to Gaius. They had an opportunity to meet together, and Marcus had obviously guessed what was going on, and he engineered the opportunity for them to spend a night together, and so they did. But it ended, the story ends, with Virilicus having to go to Rome with Gaius, and Gaia having to stay in Britain with her husband. Along the way, when he was captured, Virilicus had a lot of gold treasure on him, which was confiscated, of course, but eventually Marcus agreed that he could take that, so he took it back. He hid it in the house so that if Gaia had need of it, she would find it and make use of it. She didn't, in fact, at that time. In fact, she didn't at all. What did happen to it, and what happened to them both, is revealed in the sequel, which I'm actually writing at the moment, which is called Brothers-in-Law. And that doesn't exactly give this plot away, but it gives you a clue.
I like it. It gives you a clue. How fun was this for you to do this book, to go through the history, to come up with the story, to create it, to bring it to life? Was this fun for you?
Oh, yes, it was. I'm afraid I took far too long writing it because I just enjoyed writing it. I wasn't writing to a deadline. I was just writing for my own amusement. And then eventually, of course, I discovered I'd got a story. And I thought, well, maybe I can get it published, which is what I did. But, because I became interested in the Romans, I had amassed quite a library of information about Roman conduct, Roman culture, Roman lifestyle, Roman families. And I also am a member of the Devon Archaeological Society. And through them, through going to sites with them, although I don't live anywhere near Devon, but I've managed to make contact with people there, became a member. I have visited so many sites across Britain, and I'm also a member of the Association for Roman Archaeology, which concentrates only on the Romans, but goes further afield than Britain. So yeah, it's something which I've had a lot of opportunity to discover through the people I've known and the books I've managed to get hold of.
Wonderful, and we can't wait to see what happens with the sequel. And, of course, we're speaking with Emmy Taylor. The book is Brothers. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. What do you hope people take away from reading this novel?
Well, I hope that if they haven't already thought a bit about the Romans, that they take away a greater interest or an interest at all in what was going on in Roman Britain at the time. And, in fact, the Romans themselves, because I know they had a lot to things. They did a lot of things which we do today do not approve of at all. They were a fascinating culture, and I just think they left such an imprint on Britain and on the ground that it's so hard you cannot avoid seeing it and learning about it.
Emmy Taylor, so fascinating. Thanks.
Oh, thank you very much for having the opportunity to talk to you and to spread the word, I hope.
We appreciate it. And again, you can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And, wow, so interesting to take the history and then to meld it and come up with the storyline. And what there's a sequel to, and that's the good part to this. Emmy, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Do appreciate it very much indeed.
And we end this hour with no thanks and yes, please. Tiger Woods is the no thanks. Tiger Woods turned down an offer worth, you ready for this, $700 to $800 million to join the Saudi-backed Live Golf Series. Yeah. I mean, the CEO, Greg Norman, flat out just said it. And he was doing an interview that was on Fox, and he was asked point blank by Tucker Carlson if it was true that Woods really was offered that amount of money. And he said, that number was out there before I became CEO, so that number's been out there, yes. I mean, look, Tiger's a needle mover, right? So he didn't deny it, because he is absolutely right. Tiger is a needle mover. I saw it myself when he was playing in his heyday of golf, how people just came out of the woodwork to see him. So you got major winners, Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Sergio Garcia, and a whole list of others who are part of this who got a ton of money just to join the tour. And then, of course, they're all off the PGA Tour at this point. So there's still lots of controversy brewing around that, but that is an insane number, isn't it? Fame trumps everything. I always say that. Fame trumps everything. Okay, the yes, please, is Mexican pizza. Taco Bell is bringing back Mexican pizza. People love Mexican pizza. I don't know if you've had it. I know that my husband talked about it, and they announced that it's returning permanently on September 15th. That's earlier than expected, because they said they've worked hard to restock the beloved menu item because people were freaking out about it. Mexican pizza came back to the menus about after a two-year hiatus in May, but the demand was so insane it caused them to run out in just 2 weeks after the relaunch. Isn't that wild? It cost like just under $5, and initially it came off the menu in 2020 because it was part of a pulling down, culling, if you will, of the menu during the height of the pandemic. But I know a lot of people that like the Mexican pizza, so right on Taco Bell. Yes, please. Thanks so much to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody. Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.